This is the 9.8 Podcast. All right, welcome back, everyone, to the 9.8 Podcast. After a week off here, wanted to dive back in today. Wanted to talk about kind of some strategies and different things to look at as far as at-home training. Given the world that we're currently living in, where everyone is kind of staying at home to prevent spread of the COVID-19 virus. And obviously, you're probably seeing a lot of content being provided, from whether it's trainers, whether it's coaches, whether it's, physical therapists or anybody in health and fitness that's, sharing their perspective and their content as far as giving you something to do while at home. As far as a workout, which is a great thing. You have all of these people in our industry that are willing to take time and share what their skills and knowledge and abilities are with the world to try to help everybody out in this time of need. Obviously, it's kind of small potatoes compared to, helping people out in other ways, whether it's financially or health-wise and anything like that. But, there's also a need for people to stay active, especially if you're, an avid gym goer or, you have certain people that you like to do certain activities with and now you're kind of, and sometimes literally stuck inside the house and without that period of activity in your life that maybe you're used to as part of your routine. It can really disrupt a lot of things, both physically and mentally. So I think it is definitely an important piece to try to maintain. And there's a lot of individuals out here that are trying to help you maintain that. And with that, you're gonna get a few zeros in the mix as well, for lack of a better term. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry's out here sharing their at-home workout. Some with great intentions and some with not so great intentions. So basically wanted to go over and we'll kind of break this up into two segments. First segment is, strategies that you can apply to that at-home workout, whether it's something that, maybe you're somebody who's been working out at home all along and nothing's going to be changing for you. Maybe it's, like I said, some of you used to go to a gym where you had all this equipment that's available to you. Now you don't, or maybe, you don't have as much available to you now. And, or maybe you're somebody who, for whatever reason, this is kind of the kick you needed to start get working out. You wanted to start somewhere small and you're like, well, I can work out around the house, whatever the case. I think there's certain strategies for any of those level of people to apply to that workout. That you're either getting from somebody else or, you have already in place that can take that at-home workout. And, now you're not just going to get a workout that you just think is, oh, this is obviously not what I usually do. And maybe this is, half as good or a quarter of as good as what I would get at a gym. And I'm here to tell you, it's my opinion that if you need a gym, to feel like you are getting the most benefit out of your workout plan was probably not very good. Meaning that if it's the gym and the equipment that make the workout, you should rethink exactly, what you had outlined for yourself. So let's just go right into it. And in no particular order here, some of the strategies that I think absolutely today you can apply. Number one, I think with a bullet, is time under tension. I know I just said no particular order, but that one I think is absolutely number one. Time under tension, you might hear that term become relatively popular. And basically, it's kind of a fancy way of saying go slow. If you follow me on Instagram or Twitter, it's something that I kind of trumpet a lot is, slow down when you're doing, especially compound movements, slow down, really take your time with it and allow yourself to analyze your movement. And, when you're going super fast and trying to just hammer through a lot of these things, a lot of that stuff gets missed and you miss an opportunity to better yourself by kind of analyzing yourself and providing yourself the time to do that. Now, that's obviously one ancillary benefit. You know, there's multiple other benefits as well. You know, when you're going, so you're obviously the phrase time under tension, that muscle tension, muscles are engaged for a longer period of time. And obviously there's a couple of stimuli that you know, your body has to go against when that muscle's under tension for a longer period of time. Now, when we want to get specific with it, what I like to do is I shoot for a 7-second repetition. And this kind of coincides with, you know, the third and what I think the best benefit of time under tension is, you know, when, if you've ever heard the term triphasic muscle contraction, triphasic meaning the three phases of muscle contraction that you can have in a particular movement. There's concentric, which, you know, I don't want to go all Doogie Howser here and get super scientific, but I'll go over this really quickly. Concentric is the muscle is shortening as it's contracting. So think about, think about a bicep curl, you know, that curl up as you bring your wrist up towards your shoulder blade. That's the concentric portion. And then as you're letting your arm fall back down, that's what we call the eccentric portion. So that muscle is lengthening back out. And usually we'll just let gravity just, you know, obviously ride our arms back down. And what we're missing is we're missing the opportunity for that muscle to stay engaged while it's lengthening back out. Usually we'll just let it lengthen back out without any muscle activation at all. So when you try to hammer out the eccentric portion, is you're trying to really resist gravity bringing your arm back down so that muscle stays engaged, it stays active, and stays firing while the muscle's lengthening back out. And then the third is the isometric portion, which is whether the muscle is neither shortening nor lengthening, but is still active. So imagine a pause in the middle of that bicep curl, maybe around 90 degrees or so, and then holding that position. So obviously gravity is still trying to force your arm back down. Your bicep is activating just enough to keep it in place, but not to move it. So the muscle's not shortening, it's not lengthening, it's staying the same, and it's still active. So again, when you're increasing time under tension, and you're hitting all those three phases of muscle activation, you're going to absolutely just hammer out that movement and get such a great benefit out of it. The second thing I had, you know, try out alternative planes of motion, you know, meaning not everything has to live in a forward and backward world. Obviously, that's the world we live in mostly. You know, we don't walk sideways or backwards or, you know, up and down very often, but, you know, everything's forward, everything's in front of us, but you know, fool around with alternative planes of motion, you know, not just always just a bench press, you know, press overhead, not always just a row, you know, if you have the ability to do a pull-up, you know, obviously you don't necessarily need a pull-up bar to do that. You know, you can get creative, find things around the house, get creative with your body positioning and really try to, you know, get some vertical pulls, vertical pushes as well. You know, the same thing with the legs. An example I'll give here is, you know, lunges, you know, make sure you're throwing in a side lunge, make sure that your hips can stay stable and active. You know, when you're, you know, moving your center of gravity out to the side as well. If you're sound in all three phases of, or I'm sorry, three planes of motion, you know, again, that's another way that you're just going to become a much more resilient body as far as functionality. That third plane of motion being the transverse plane or the rotational plane. And I think that's a super common one that everybody misses. And I think the result can be, you know, pretty huge as far as a lack of mobility hindering your potential to move, you know, as much weight as you might think. You know, next one we'll go unilateral movements. I think, you know, is something that can get glossed over as well. Again, this is something for, like, if you don't have as much weight to, let's say, oh gosh, it's probably a lot easier to do in the lower extremities than the uppers. But, obviously, squat and deadlift are two movements that I'm a huge advocate for. But, what do you look like when you try to squat on a single leg? What do you look like when you try to hinge on a single leg? And not only can those provide, different challenges, but it can really give you a window, like I said earlier, into that self-analysis, and really give you a window on what exactly, are you lacking when you, obviously are taking away a point of stability. What's compensating for that? What else is getting into the mix? There's a lot of cool questions that can be answered about yourself, just by going from a bilateral to a unilateral movement. And then the last one is fairly obvious, but if you don't have a lot of the equipment, especially resistance wise, that you're used to using in a movement, I think common sense would tell you, okay, let's just do more. But I don't want to kind of have it sound dumbed down as just for, okay, do more reps. But just get a little creative with your volume as far as increasing the volume of the exercises. So not maybe, maybe it is just more repetition. Maybe it's, the more sets of that repetition. Maybe it's mixing in, like I said, one set of, a certain exercise, another set of something similar in an alternative plane of motion, or, from bilateral to unilateral. Or maybe you do, one set normal tempo, one set time under tension. So there's different ways than just do more to increase the volume of an exercise. And I would really highly suggest that, because that keeps the quality high. Because there's no sense of just saying, hey, let's say you're somebody, you're set out, you're going to do 8 reps on this set of a particular exercise. And then because, let's say you only have 20% of the resistance you usually use, you're now going to do 20 reps. Well, and that could be fine. But if you're form starts to deteriorate around, rep number 14 or 15, what the heck are you doing here? So just make sure that quality is still the absolute number one thing that you're going after when you're increasing volume, because that's where it can get dangerous, where people are really starting to just, I did 50 push-ups and, in a minute, and I don't even know if that's possible, but and it's like, okay, but like, did you actually do 50 push-ups, or did you just bend your elbow 50 times and have your back super arched? And I don't know, I can get stuck in the weeds talking about that all day, but you get the point. Okay, so yeah, we made the decision. We're going to start working out at home. Now the focus has to shift to, okay, now how the heck do I decide what to do? Like we've discussed before, we've got everybody on our Instagram and Twitter feeds sharing an at-home workout. How do I know what's the best for me? There's a couple of things I think to look out for just as a jumping-off point. You want to ask yourself, who is this coming from? What type of person are they? What, type of business are they in? Is this just somebody who enjoys working out and they want to, they want to get me doing what they do? Is this somebody who, is a trainer or a coach or, in physical therapy? Are they in, some type of recreational, program, anything like that? You want to make sure that you're comfortable and you know exactly who is sharing that workout and what they're all about. Make sure that what they're sharing fits you. So if you come across, especially if it's a personalized conversation, and somebody says, hey, I've got this at-home workout plan, you should think about doing it, make sure that they can justify that at-home workout plan for you. Is it going to get you closer to a goal that you're trying to still achieve? Is it going to be working for, maybe certain variables and parameters within your body, that have to be taken into account when prescribing exercise? Make sure it's not just I've used this phrase before, just a bunch of exercises that somebody pulled out of a hat and decided to just list, put it in a list and say, hey, do this. And make sure that you know exactly why it's fit and just for you. So don't just necessarily take somebody's word for it. Oh yeah, no, this can definitely help with X, Y, or Z. Make sure that some education is being provided as far as why it's fit for you. And then kind of this goes kind of hand in hand with how I ended that last one is, ask, will you be provided with further education? And I think that's the biggest one for me. And I've certainly tried to share as much as I can with former and current clients, as well as anybody who's willing to have a conversation. I don't think I've just shared one workout, whether it was just a workout alone. And I honestly don't understand how any trainer or coach could just share a workout without any education at all. Yet I've seen it happen where somebody else will list this stuff, and I mean I wouldn't feel right about that, because if I'm prescribing exercise for somebody, I want to make sure that, because I'm not going to be there to give them cues, to give them guidance, and to assess and progress as needed. So I want to make sure that my product isn't going to be devalued by them either doing it poorly, doing it not exactly as I've prescribed, or just kind of rogue, going rogue and doing their own thing. So, you want to make sure that you're getting not only explanation of the exercises, but also education for down the line, how you're going to progress, what to expect as far as progressions, what to expect, express, ooh, excuse me, what to expect as far as, how to self-analyze so that you can correctly make those progressions at the right time. So there's a lot that goes into it, more than just exercises. And to me, that's the most important part of exercise prescription is, the movements are the movements. There's so many ways to skin a cat as far as that goes. But it's providing the client the knowledge to be able to skin their own cat, as weird as that may sound. But it's like that whole, give a man a fish versus teach a man to fish. Cliche is that, you've got to make sure that that person knows exactly what to do, why to do it, how to do it, and how to do it better in the future. Okay, just like I do every episode, gonna end here with a little spotlight segment. Where I want to just share somebody who's been kind of an important influence to me with being able to share the knowledge, skills, and ability that I've ob obtained. This person is one of the biggest influences and reasons why has been as successful as a trainer and a coach as I've been thus far. His name is Michael Gorney. Mike is an athletic trainer in the Metro Detroit area. Mike and I met. We worked at a physical therapy clinic where we exclusively treated individuals with spinal cord injuries and brain injuries. And Mike was kind of, somewhat of a mentor as far as we kind of how it was structured there, because we had a lot of trainers. We had, physical therapists, physical therapist assistants, strength and conditioning individuals, exercise science individuals, athletic trainers. All kind of working in collaboration with one another, and we kind of paired up and kind of had a little mentor-mentee relationship. And Mike kind of took me under his wing, shared so much that not only was applicable then, obviously to the unique population that we were treating, but even after leaving that job, moving across the state, starting to work with more of a general population. And then more of an athletic population, obviously vastly different. But some of the things that, that Mike and I would, have discussed over that previous year that we worked together, was just so invaluable and really, I almost, it sounds, dramatic and hyperbolic, but, I almost had my whole career to owed, I owed my whole career to that guy, because, I still learn things from him to this day, as far as, you know, whether it's looking at, you know, old notes from discussions we would have, or just run into a similar situation where I would give a client a cue and, you know, sometimes they'd be like, wow, that's definitely something Mike would have said, or and then, oh man, that totally makes sense now, you know, 3 years down the road. And you know, sometimes that's what it takes, is that you have these discussions, you know, with these mentors, and, you know, you take great notes, and maybe some of it doesn't land for a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road. But it's still just as valuable. And, you know, this is a guy, I mean, think of it this way. I worked with him for roughly 11 months. I think it was just shy of a year. And I left that job. You know, we're going to be going on 3 years here. So I haven't worked there for almost 3 years, only worked with them for, you know, just under a year. And, you know, like I said, one of the biggest impacts that, you know, that I've had is working with him. So, definitely one of the absolute smartest individuals, that I've been able to be around and learn from. And the fact is this: if you're looking for, you know, to increase your own knowledge, increase, you know, your awareness of, you know, like the things I've mentioned before, you know, your ability to assess and analyze yourself, and your ability to just kind of think more, more in depth about your workouts, you're a fool if you don't follow him, because the content that he shares, not only with, you know, the people he works with and that are close to him, but everyone who's willing to, you know, have that thoughtful discussion, you know, he's definitely great at providing that content for you. And I would really suggest, you know, looking him up. You can find him. He's on Twitter, he's on Instagram, he's on Facebook. The gym that he runs is in Ferndale, Michigan. It's called Brain Meets Brawn. I mean, the dude's got a big brain. Yeah, I mean, he's got a hell of a physique. And so it just fits, I suppose. But Brain Meets Brawn is in Ferndale. If you're in the Metro Detroit area, I would highly recommend looking it up. It's a wonderful facility, and just, you know, absolute second to none training, because not only is he's an awesome trainer that has experience in so many different areas, but like I said before, the knowledge that you're going to be able to gain and be provided with is just absolutely, you know, invaluable. So Brain Meets Brawn Fitness. I believe it's the Twitter handle and Instagram handle is at BMB Fitness Solutions. Go look him up. Mike Gorney, love you, man, and thank you for everything. Thanks again for listening to the 9.8 Podcast. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll continue the discussion next week.